how to find an operator that can make you money on autopilot. Welcome to another episode of Contrarian Thinking. I'm Cody Sanchez, and here it is in audio form. First, we start with a rant. Most people who are in the U.S. are poor because of their own decisions. Wow, there's a statement to fire up the haters. I tell you this not to be an a-hole. It's not true across the board. There are about 1,000,000,001 exceptions, and I allow for all of that. But instead, I tell you this to give you permission that it is in your control. Wealth building can happen for you, but only you can decide to go get it. Sadly, no one else will come to save you. No government, no entity, no human. You are your last chance. For some people, this is horrifying. For some people, this is freeing. So let's start taking names with hard truths and move towards the freedom crowd. If you don't focus on wealth, scarcity will find you. If you don't obsess on your finances, they will leave you. No one cares about your financial freedom more than you do. No one. And yet, how many of us set time to ensure the lifeline of our business or life, revenue, cash flow, is flowing and being spent appropriately? How many of us spend more time watching Netflix or on Instagram instead of mapping our financial future? I used to be very guilty of this. No finger pointing. Now is the time we believe we are capable enough. Now is the time that we make changes. So today, we're going to dive into exactly that. Let me tell you a story first. A very successful multi-business owner friend of mine, Matt Atchison, was walking with his mentor, David Osborne. David is worth hundreds of millions of dollars and has one of those lives we all just dream about. Matt told me he thought the first encounter would involve general questions and life lessons. He was wrong. David went deep and specific. What's your net worth? How much do you earn monthly? How much do you spend monthly? Portfolio breakdown? Acceleration of each income stream? Matt quickly realized he had so few of these answers really dialed in. David said something he'll never forget upon listening to his responses. He said, "You will never be successful if you do not understand your own finances. They are your foundation, and if you don't know them, you are building a house on sand." That line stuck with him. If you don't understand your own finances, you do not know how to build your own house. Matt vowed to never be caught off guard on how he runs his finances again. The truth is, freedom is a luxury only for the financially independent. The financially independent, they all stem from being financially aware. After all, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So Matt made himself a promise and created a system to ensure he kept it. Every week, he holds something he's dubbed Financial Fridays, where he goes over the finances of all of his businesses every week to keep a pulse. This also includes an assessment of his personal finances and an overview of all of his investments weekly. I, of course, stole this idea because it was brilliant. Taking a page out of Matt's book, I have my own Financial Friday overview, 1x a month. With our heads bent over my computer, my fiance and I go over our personal finances with a spreadsheet that looks a lot like this. You'll see it broken down in the newsletter. It ain't fancy. It is a standard example of a personal P&L, profit and loss statement. By showing the different COAs, courses of actions, you can tweak, it helps you see what your income and expenses could be. It's a tool I can't recommend enough. Heck, we even give copies of this template to new members of our cash flow course. Click the link. You can join us. So if you don't already, start getting financy on Fridays. Begin with drawing up your own P&L. If you're starting a new venture, hunt down the successful owners operators in your business sector and get them to reveal their KPIs, key performance indicators. Or feel free to replicate how my good friend Lisa pulled this off when she was starting her mini mailbox business, which now does $260K in annual profit, I might add. Unearth critical info like their revenue, costs, profitability, weekly, monthly, trend line, etc. By identifying what works and what doesn't, you'll be learning. And we all know when you learn, you earn. Now let's get into hiring operators. So the reason why we hire operators for our businesses is because we want cash flow from businesses, just like any other asset, but we don't have the time to run all of them. It's very hard running one business. When you start to add 2, 3, 5, 20, it's an entirely different ballgame that is impossible as a single individual. So how do you find these unique humans who are going to actually run the business for you so that you can spend time profiting and financing as opposed to working in the business? Let's start with rule number one. Profit versus pay. I know I yell this several times a day on Twitter, but I'll say it again for the kids in the back. Make sure there's enough profit in any deal before you buy. But how much is quote-unquote enough? If the business's profit margins can afford you hiring a quality operator and still hit your personal profit goals, then yes, that's enough. That's the definition. Enough profit to make you the money that you need while hiring the help that you need. A site like Glassdoor can help you with your research. For instance, if I were buying an auto repair shop in Boston, I'd need to budget $60,000 a year plus bonuses to hire an operator to run the shop. Knowing this figure, I can easily subtract this expense from the shop's profits and see if there's enough for me to take this bad boy home. If not, I'm a pass. Lesson 2, finding the right partner. You gotta spend time to find the right partner. The best partner, in my opinion, is always one of two things. Someone you know and trust to do the job, or someone who has done the job before. I call that potential talent, someone you know and trust, or proven talent, someone who has done the job before. Personally, I prefer to not have my people learn on my dime. If I can bring someone up in the business, that's ideal. If that's not possible, then I go out and find someone who knows the business or who can share some history with me about the industry. However, that's easier said than done. The trick to finding the best operator available is to make your search as expansive as possible, or to make it as targeted and deep as possible. Sometimes the answer isn't A or B, the answer is A plus B. That means posting on sites like Indeed, Craigslist, depending on the role, and social media. It also means a smarter, more targeted strategy, calling managers of competing companies in your industry, reaching out to people in your network, and making requests you normally wouldn't ask in a day, like, hey, you got any recommendations for your favorite mechanic? Lesson number 3, proven or potential talent. Who do you go with? If you wanted fish, the logical place to go would be the water, right? It's the same with proven talent. When it comes to finding capable operators, your best bet is to go looking at jobs with similar responsibilities. So here's what I usually do. If I were on the market for a manager at my local auto shop, I would make calls to managers at any local franchisees around. I'd ask them to return my call in their off time if they were interested in running their own garages without the constraints of franchise rules. You'd be surprised at how many rings you get after 5 p.m. Another idea would be to actually go become a customer at those sites. Have them check out your car, get to know a few of them, and see if any of them seem hyper competent to you. However, keep in mind that proven talent will cost more in initial compensation. No getting around it. And if you're ever tempted to skimp on hiring decisions, remember these words. If you think it's expensive to hire a professional, wait until you hire an amateur. Red Adair. You can consider offering a bonus-based pay or a earn-in, buy-in for equity, milestones. You can have options, you can have warrants. With proven talent, you always want to tie your revenue goals to their personal goals through compensation packages. That way, everyone wins. That said, it doesn't mean the potential talent comes at a cheaper price always. You'll just be paying a different kind of currency, time and training. In April, we ran a piece on how former Miss Nevada started and scaled her mini mailbox business. Think she licks the stamps herself and slaps them on boxes day in and day out? Not anymore. As a serial entrepreneur, Lisa understood the upside of having operators that could manage her business with minimal input from her. That's why she hired cocktail waitresses off the Vegas Strip. But why waitresses? Well, you don't get to be in the service industry for long if you aren't a quick learner and natural hustler, which are two skills essential for any good operator. And how has that hiring decision worked out for Lisa? Let's see. She's on her third location and cash flows hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit. You do the math. The next rule. Look for experience as well as past leadership. Two beliefs. The past is the best predictor of the future. Past behavior is usually future behavior. If someone was the captain of their baseball team or a military officer, that might be a good indication. While searching for a compatible business partner, keep your eyes peeled for a previous leader. Because while there's no getting out of training your new operators in technical skills, you could stumble on a well-formed manager who needs no training in leading others. Yes, you could promote an employee into leadership if they have the right culture, goals, and skill set, but I'll typically take leadership quality over skills. Why? Because a true leader knows their shortcomings. You can trust them to step up and learn the skills they're lacking so they can lead effectively. It's why I actively seek out former military members when hiring operators. With their disciplined tendency towards hierarchy and ability to make decisions under pressure, I like their profile. Career transition programs for ex-military are a great place to scout for potential founders. Many of the veteran hires I have made were through friends or the SEAL Future Foundation, Goldman Sachs Veteran Integration Program, Veteran Career Transition Assistance Program. You can also get out the word on veteran jobs boards. Sites like Hire a Hero, Vet Jobs, and Recruit Military got a lot of talent on them. Here's the four things that I look for when interviewing operators. So you found your guy or gal, and you're ready to put them into your business so you can profit. What do you need to do to make sure that they're the right person? Well, this could be an entire blog post, but let's start with four. Experience, both in the business and as a leader. Never be hesitant to dig into their experiences by have them run through every single job on their resume. What did they do? What did they love? What did they hate? What would they have done differently? Two, culture. Do they fit the core values of your company? More importantly, do their core values align with yours? Don't tell me, show me. Ask them specifically how their culture aligns with yours through their actions. Goals. Do their future goals align with the opportunity? I don't want to make another hire in a year if they outgrow this job quickly. My only exception for this is if I have somewhere else for them to move up to and they can hire their replacement. I don't restrict myself to their compensation goals alone. I look at the whole picture. What do they want their life to look like in 3 to 5 years? How can they see this position helping them to attain these goals? Behavioral assessment. I am a huge believer in using behavioral assessment for hiring, especially on leadership roles. Not every role requires the same behavioral patterns, but just as people vastly differ, so do their natural behavior responses to scenarios. Using an assessment like the DISC or Myers-Briggs can help you determine if they are a good fit for the position. It's not to say the operator in question cannot succeed if they are not 100% match. It just means they will constantly be asked to do things outside their natural behavior pattern, and that can wear them out over time. Again, there are no right or wrong answers with behavioral assessments, and their goal certainly isn't to prove who's better than who. They only serve to highlight that certain behaviors are a better fit for certain jobs than others. Giant disclaimer, last I checked, I didn't have a psychiatric degree, so trust your gut. I'm not the only expert here. The truth of it is, people will tell you why all day long. You cannot run multiple businesses. You cannot be multi-passionate. You cannot have multiple income streams without not maximizing your singular income stream. Honestly, I think they're full of it. And in fact, instead, you should do all of these things. You should decentralize instead of centralize, just like people are talking about with crypto, DeFi, and Bitcoin. If you can decentralize more points in your life, you have less options for a singular fail point. And that is critical. So this week, question everything and build your team. A man alone can go fast, but he cannot go far.